there. This is T.C. Tolbert, and you are listening to In Our Own Voices, amplifying Tucson's LGBTQ plus community here on KXCI. Today, I'm talking with Eve Rifkin. Hey, Eve.
Hey, T.C.
We're here to talk about queer mothering, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Why don't we just jump in?
It's sort of like a nothing story where everything happens. I was at a friend's house. This was years ago. My daughter is now 7. My daughter was eating a cracker, and the cracker fell on the floor. And so I sort of leaned over, picked up the cracker, brushed it off on my pants, and handed it back to my kid. And my friend, who was sitting across the table, she laughed and said, "You're just like the dad." I didn't have a response in the moment, but I felt something shift in my bloodstream. I think that my style of mothering, because of the way that many people are raised in the wiring that we wind up with, people can't make sense of it other than by calling it kind of like a father. And that's been really challenging for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's been really challenging for me to be a mom and be perceived as a dad, because I think I'm sort of subject to my own wiring, right? Like, it's been tricky to be a queer mother and not fall into the expectations that people have, and then questioning my own motherhood. Mm. Like, am I a mother if I don't care as much as my partner does about how many minutes of screen time or if the cracker has been sterilized, right? Am I still a mom or am I now a dad? It's like, well, I don't feel like a dad. I really feel like a mom, and I still have the scar to prove it. Just the other day, I was talking to a friend, and we were, same thing. It's like this idea that people have in their minds, and I think it does a disservice to dads, too.
Mm-hmm.
When the assumption, sort of the prevailing assumption, is that the more careful person is the mother, and the more careless, so it's not carefree, it's the more careless person is the father. I don't think that's good for dads.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's good for queer mothers.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's good for kids. I don't think it's good for people. So I just feel like it's time to just drop all that stuff and maybe be curious about, oh, so what's that like to co-parent with somebody who has different approaches than you do, as opposed to just neatly packaging it up and saying, well, she's like the mom and you're like the dad.
What is it like to navigate this?
The challenge is that renegotiation takes time and energy. And parenting zaps people for time and energy. It's a huge resource drain.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is that a pattern emerges. And once a pattern emerges, it's just a lot easier to continue along with that pattern than it is to say, hey, let's push pause. I really care about what our daughter's eating too.
Mm.
So let me think more about that. And you can take a break and think about yourself or some other things.
Mm-hmm.
It's a division of labor. And so if one person is going to spend more mental real estate caring about such and such, then the other person is freed up to think about the other thing,
right?
There's no shortage of things that need time and attention. But it's exciting to not have the roadmap. I mean, to be queer parents means I don't have to do what my parents did. I don't have to act like the dad takes out the trash and the mom stays home and makes sandwiches. But someone's got to take out the trash and someone's got to make the sandwiches. And so in a lot of ways, it's the gender normativity that makes queer parenting extra interesting and challenging.
That is going to be our last word.
It's going to be
that. You knew it. You've been listening to In Our Own Voices here on KXCI.